back in the 1880s, it was a prime spot for Sam Allerton to feed the cattle and other livestock that he brought up from Nebraska. And then that's where Robert decided he wanted to live and watch over the farms that were there. So his father agreed to pay for him to have a house that was suitable to his situation. And so he built this mansion and then filled it full, the grounds full of statuary and sculpture.
He became fascinated with English life based on the
right
all the tours he took elsewhere, and wanted to emulate that in East
right.
Central Illinois.
Right. When he wanted to find that kind of house he wanted to build, he went to England with a friend of his who was an architect, John Borey, and they eventually found a model of a house that, or mansion that already existed from the 1600s. It's called Ham House. And he really liked the lines of it, so they came back and John Borey drew up and designed for that. After that, he did a lot of traveling between Asia and Europe, but a lot of his servants were English. It was very interesting when he started examining the census records. He started bringing this one person over, and that person would then suggest that other family members come over from England. So he had whole families working there, and a lot of them came from England. I think he liked the kind of attitude or just the sound of having English people on the premises.
Was a visit to Ham House just like a visit to Allerton?
If you look at the website for Ham House, you see a striking correlation. It's not exactly the same, but it's fairly similar. They call it a Stuart-style house. When people refer to Allerton Park, they call it a Georgian-style house. And I have a feeling it's a little bit more Georgian than Stuart. The other correlation that some people like to say is a lot of people talk about the possibility that there's a ghost, a lady in white wandering around the gallery and the halls in Allerton Mansion. And there's supposedly a ghost at Ham House, too.
How else did life there resemble England's typical day at Ham House? Was it very much the same at Allerton?
Well, there was, like if you are a fan of all these English shows like Downton Abbey, they're always out riding and that sort of stuff. And Robert really loved his horses, so he had horses available for his guests to go riding. Food, I think, was a little bit more Spartan because Robert wasn't quite as a foodie as you see in some of these shows. As a matter of fact, for breakfast, he'd have like graham crackers and orange juice and then soup for lunch. But he was always out walking his property like a typical English lord.
Well, and I have to bring up Downton Abbey since it's such a huge following. Downton has been all about gossip, especially some of the things going on amongst the servants. Are there examples of that, of what has happened at Allerton over the years?
I think so. I've met a number of people who told me their family lived there, et cetera. And one of the ladies that we interviewed, Martha Bergen and I, when we wrote the biography, was a person who is still alive and living in Monticello. Her father was the butler who posed for Primitive Man. And he came from England, Ted Page, and she told a lot of stories, and her husband told a lot of stories, behind-the-scenes stuff. And as a matter of fact, there is some talk that there were a couple of, shall we say, lesser characters from the family who retired very young to Florida and were paid a very nice early retirement, shall we say, money from Robert. And the conjecture among the family members was that it was a payoff for keeping their mouth shut about something.
Another thing that was staple of life at a home resembling Downton or Ham House, I mean, with the clothes, you had dinner jacket and very specific outfits, and I assume that was also a custom of life back then. That
when you see the early pictures of Robert, you see this high starched collar that just looks like it must have itched terribly. And then when we interviewed people in the 50s and the 60s, people said he always looked, you know, just kind of grungy, like anybody out there walking around in the muddy area or out in the woods. I think as time went on, he became more and more flexible. Thus, the idea for all of his guests to wear these costumes when they came, because he collected togas and geisha outfits and Grecian skirts, and encouraged his guests to change out of those hot, dusty, dirty, and starchy clothes that they'd wear while driving down from Chicago, most of them from Chicago, and just kind of let everything loose.
And I'm wondering, too, have the grounds been maintained the way they were then?
My understanding from talking with people who have grown up and may have lived or worked on the property is that it doesn't look anywhere near as sparkling. And I don't mean that in a bad way against the university. They had a large staff of gardeners to help out, and that was his thing. All the gardens had to be in shape. All the gardeners had to be gone by Thursday. Everything had to be in shape by Thursday because guests would arrive on Friday, and he did not want the guests to have to see anything being put together. It was all supposed to be magically, you know, there, like Disney World or Disneyland or something.
They addressed him in the same fashion like you might expect then to some sort of formal way, or was it yes, sir? Or
well,
Mr.
I think they said, I would imagine they said yes, sir, but most of the time they said Mr. Allerton this and Mr. Allerton that. But interestingly, when I was talking to this one woman whose father was the primitive man model, she just called him Bobby. A lot of people just called him Bobby. I don't know whether they called him Bobby to his face.
How many staff did he have? What's the most he ever had working for him?
In looking at the census records, I think maybe about 10 people, and that was inside the house and on the grounds. And these people had their family. Some of them had their family there, too. So,
were they thought of as friends or just this guy works for me?
Well, I think for the most part, he thought of them as friends. There was some story like Elmer Preeb. He was the chauffeur, and the chauffeurs had to learn how to fix the cars, too. And Robert wanted to go to New York, so they drove to New York, and they stayed in hotel rooms, and he wasn't stuck in some dreary little room. He had a room that was nearby, and they'd go to meals together and so forth. Mr. Page, the model for Primitive Man, he was nicknamed King Edward because his real name was Edward, and they kind of chummed a little bit, I believe. I know there's a story about Ted was fishing by the reflecting pond, and he had a piece of red string, and he was fishing, and Robert came by and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm fishing for frogs." And he goes, "Well, what's that going to do?" And he said, "Well, the red attracts the frogs." And the next day, Robert went out with a red string on a fishing line, and he was out there fishing for frogs. So I think they had fun together.